I love y'all. It's just great to be here. You know, what's your week been like? Okay. Some of you feel really blessed. Others of you are kind of staggering along. So I thought maybe you'd appreciate a couple of humorous stories as we begin this morning. This is about a retiree's last trip to Walmart. Yesterday, I was at my local Walmart buying a large bag of Purina dog chow for my loyal pet Jake, the Wonder Dog. I was in the checkout line when a woman behind me asked if I had a dog. What did she think I had, an elephant? So because I'm retired and have little to do, on impulse, I told her, no, I don't have a dog. I'm starting up on the Purina diet again. I added that probably I shouldn't because I ended up in the hospital last time because I'd lost 500 pounds. No, it was only 50 pounds. And I awakened in intensive care ward with tubes coming out of most of my orifices and IVs in both arms. I told her that it was essentially a perfect diet and that the way it worked is to load your pants pockets with Purina nuggets and simply eat one or two at a time whenever you feel hungry. The food is completely nutritious, and it works well, and I'm going to try it again. Now, I have to mention here that practically everybody else in the line was really enthralled with my story. Horrified, the woman who'd asked the question if I had a dog asked if I'd ended up in intensive care because the dog food had poisoned me. I told her no, I had stopped to pee on a fire hydrant, and a car hit me. I thought the guy behind her was going to have a heart attack. He was laughing so hard. Walmart won't let me shop there anymore. You'd better watch out what you ask retired people. They have all the time in the world to think of crazy things to say. And I want to thank a certain member of our church who will remain nameless. So, Bruce, thank you very much for this one. The children were all lined up in the school cafeteria for lunch, and at the head of the table was a large basket of apples. The nun had written a note and posted on the apple basket, "Take only one, God is watching." Moving further along the lunch line at the other end of the table was a large plate of chocolate chip cookies, and a child had written the following note, "Take all you want, God is watching the apples." Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you. Because you're an amazing God, and you're doing amazing things, and we just want to bless you today, and as we enter into your presence, powerful ways in the week to come. And so, Lord, thank you for all your provision, and as we have an opportunity to praise you this day, we just thank you for being our God. In your name we pray, amen, amen. Want to quickly give you some announcements, and I believe some of them are on the screen behind you. I just want to let you know that from Monday to Wednesday, we're having a new concrete pad installed out in the front. So if you're going to be coming in the church, just be aware you'll be coming in the north and south doors. And also this week, we've got a number of activities going on. Don't forget the ASL classes will be on Monday night starting at 7 o'clock for the next number of weeks. And Shauna, thank you for all you're doing for everybody. We're glad to have you leading it. Yes. And our ladies' visionary group is meeting at 10 o'clock on Wednesdays, and Sue and Sheila are leading that, and I hear it started off with a real bang. So to both of you ladies, thank you. Thursday night, of course, we meet here at the church, 7 o'clock, and we're in our study of Ephesians, and it's been going really well. Tremendous time together. Don't forget the shoe boxes, but please keep that in mind as well. Have a number of birthdays, and I wonder if we could put those up on the screen. Fellas, first of all, today we want to wish John Tabor and Noah happy birthday. And Mono has his birthday on the 26th tomorrow, and Noro has her birthday this week. And we want to wish some very beautiful people a very happy anniversary. So to you, Don and Donna, a happy anniversary. You're looking lovely. Thank you. And the Hawley family, Bob and Sue, have their anniversary as well. So those are announcements, and I'm going to invite our team to come up, and we're going to sing, and we're going to praise the Lord. Are you ready to praise the Lord? All right, let's stand, and we're going to start with a very familiar song. I will enter his... I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice. He has made me glad. Come into his presence, what? With thanksgiving in your hearts, and give him what? Give him praise. Let's sing this together. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, your voice is raised, your voice is raised. Give glory and honor and power unto him, Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, you're the reason we're here today. You're the reason that we come into your presence. You're the reason, because you've given us life and life eternal, life abundantly, and our future is sealed with you through the Holy Spirit. And so we just bless your name as we worship you today. Thank you for being our God and Savior. Bless your name. Here I am to worship. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for life's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And without the instruments, just quietly make this your prayer this morning. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And Lord, that is what we believe this day. You're wonderful, you're worthy, and you're to be praised. And Lord, accept our praises this day because we so enjoy praising you together with others who love you so much. Continue to bless us now as we have the rest of this service and get instruction from your word in all that we are to think and do in the week to come. We want to have the mind of Christ in our lives. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, team. Well, Sean, it's a pleasure for Jane and I to meet you at 10 o'clock at the Shell gas station at Sunnydale Road, in order to let your wife have a little date time with you while you're working. I think that was just fantastic. That's the most creative way I've ever seen to line up a date night for a couple. And so if any of you would like us to pick up your spouse, Jane and I would be happy to drop them wherever you'd like. If you're a little upset, we don't have to stop the car. They can rock and roll, whatever it takes. Yes, Phil?
Can you bring them back?
Well, yes. if you're tired of them, Phil. Anyway, Sean, point taken. I think it's amazing how our church family has helped each other through this very difficult time in so many unique ways. And Don and Bruce, you have a marvelous ministry going around, and your cards, Don, are absolutely lovely. Beautiful job. Okay. Anyone else? Note of praise. All right. Let's take some prayer requests. Prayer requests. Jim? Jim, I'm a little worried. Didn't you go down and see Rick this week? Do you think that's the cause of the headache? Or I shouldn't say that. That's mean. Rick's going to get me later for that one. Did he have a good visit?
Yeah.
Marvelous.
It was for a funeral.
Yes. The fellow who took their pictures for their wedding a year ago in June. Wow. So that's a tough time. Good. Now the Lord's in everything, even funerals, eh, Jim? Yes, we will pray for Kathy. Yes. Anything else we need to take for prayer today? You're all doing well, Donna? Yes. So your cousin's husband, Roy, open heart surgery. Okay, and that's on Friday. Okay, thank you, Donna. Anything else, Susan? Yes. Absolutely super pain-free. Good. Well, you've had a lot of stress this summer, so I'm sure it affects your head and your back and everything. Yeah, weird. How many of you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning and you got pain you didn't know you had? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 20. Okay. Is there anybody who goes to bed and doesn't wake up with any pain in the morning? Can I see your hands? 1, 2. Okay, you're obvious. You two are blessed. I think you better pray for the rest of us. Anyway, well, we'll certainly pray. What else do we have for prayer? Yes.
I have a cousin with a problem.
So your cousin and her husband,
who?
Yes. Okay. And Leanne, and they were, and they're missionaries. So they're home. They were home now in Chicago. So they were in a car accident, and she was killed instantly. Okay, we will pray for John that the Lord will surround him with great peace. That is a tough call. Thanks, Audrey, for filling us in for that. Anything else, Ann? School in the new year? Question mark. Yep. We will pray the Lord gives you clear direction. Okay, Kathy. I think we would all say we're impatient, Kathy. Yeah. Okay. So the Lord would give you peace in the midst of it all. Oh, we're glad you're here on time. Atta girl. Okay, anything else, Audrey?
Unfortunately, I have another. I have a friend, she lives locally, her name is Hazel. Her brother was diagnosed. His wife, his name is Jeremy. His wife, Lynn.
Oh. And her name is Lynn? Oh. You know, you can see why some people go, okay, what next? What next? And then the flip side is, okay, I give up. I just want to go home. I've had enough. So, anything else? Kurt?
Yeah, pray and prayer.
Yes?
Pray that we are still blessed with everything what is going on around us.
Yes.
And prayer for Anga, for her back and her leg, for agony pretty much every day.
All right. We will definitely pray for you, Irmgard. And is there anything else before we note the things on the screen? Yes, Norm.
I got the CT scan back. I went to see the specialist, and he said there was a crack in the knee. And if they tried to put a knee joint in, if I could hang on as long as I can before they do it, because it takes a year to recover, and I'm not the most successful.
Okay. So we will pray that the Lord heals from the inside. Oh, I thought you kept pointing to the screen, Phil. I apologize. I thought Phil was like... For those of you that are watching by YouTube, Phil is in the back. He's waving his arms at me, and I thought he was directing me to the screen. But actually, Phil was like, go ahead, Phil. What would you like to say? Yes. Yes, we will definitely pray. Yes, we are. Yes, I think it's difficult, Phil. What I'm hearing from a lot of pastors is church boards are really struggling trying to figure out protocol, figure out what they're going to do next and everything. And I think, I appreciate everybody praying for our board. I think they're doing a magnificent job. I mean, Tojo's, they just finished up, and we're glad to see the Walsh's here. But I know you've had a heck of a time with all the COVID trying to organize everything for the whole campground. So, yeah, so you'd pray for us. And I'm going to have Sheila come up in just a minute. Sheila wants to just bring a couple of things. But even our treasurer trying to coordinate offerings, online givings. And you know, the amazing thing is a fellow came in this morning, and he said, I haven't given my offering for a while. He said, I can't stay for church, but he came in and dropped it off. I mean, it's a miracle, Sheila. You would agree, wouldn't you? Sean? You can't as a nonprofit. Sheila, do you want to come up now and just say, you wanted to say a couple of things, and then we'll pray because notes of praise even include offerings. So, and, you know, so Sheila, grab the mic right there if that's okay. All right. Excuse me.
Okay, good. Okay, I would like to, yes, to tell you about the offerings. There are so many different ways now to be giving to our church. You can do it online. You can bring it here on Sunday. At the door, we have the offering plate. And I just thank this whole congregation for keeping up their offerings during this difficult time. But right now, I would like to make a presentation. This is the last Sunday of October, and this is Pastor Appreciation Month, right? So the ladies were trying to figure out, what can we do, what can we do? And right? Well, we couldn't afford that. But we did make out heartfelt cards for our pastors. So, Pastor John.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
Pastor Phil, we have one here for you.
Aw, isn't that nice? There you go.
So this is on behalf of the ladies here. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that's a real surprise. Sooner or later, you're going to appreciate us. Anyway, you'll notice on the screen, we have some other prayer needs. Leanne, as you know, has had a really rough time with her throat, and she's having a hard time again this week. She's got some real cough issues, and she's going to be getting a CT scan in a couple of weeks. So hopefully that will start to give her some answers. And then you'll see that Monica, as you know, was supposed to have surgery for her skin cancer in her face, and that's been rescheduled for December. And then, of course, Suzanne was down having treatment in Sunnybrook this week. I understand, Richard, everything went well, and you're back home. I'm sure she's exhausted, but we're thrilled that the Lord was working with both of you through all of that. So let's take a moment to pray. Why don't we all stand together, and let's be united in our prayers for each other, even for those folks we don't know. The Lord knows them, and that's the main thing. So, Father, as we just take time to just stand in agreement with the prayers of praise and the notes for prayer. Lord, first of all, we want to thank you for what you've done for Suzanne, and may you continue to work in powerful ways in the midst of all that she's dealing with her brain cancer. Again, thank you for each and everyone's concern for one another as people are phoning each other and visiting each other. And as Sean said, the Clark's so brighten up his day. And so, Lord, may we continue to be bright lights for you. And as Kurt said, we are so blessed in so many ways. Father, we want to pray for Anne as she's trying to decide what to do with regard to future schooling. May she have a clear direction with that. And we do pray for Norm with his CT scan, that he will know exactly what he should do. And Father, I just pray you just heal him. Just heal the severing of these nerves beneath his kneecap. And Lord, when he goes back for another report with the doctor will be stunned. We pray for Irmgard, and we ask for your touch upon her leg and her back, this pain. And we know that you're working in her life, and she has to stand long hours in her job. And so, Lord, would you touch her in a special way? For Susan and the results she's getting for her back, what great news that is. Father, we want to pray for Stephanie. I was talking with her on Saturday. She's having a gastric scope on Monday, and we lift her up to you. We pray, too, for the Bowman, says Rob, and goes down and has a new permanent prosthesis put on his leg. We pray that that will work well for him, too, and he'll have better mobility. We also pray with Cavell and Bob in the car accident that Paul went through this week, and he has broken his ankle. And so, Lord, would you bring speedy healing? And Lord, he's just started a new job, and we pray somehow that he won't lose that job. Father, we pray for Kathy, who's not able to be here because of her headaches, and would you touch her? We pray for Donna's cousin's husband, Roy, who's going to be having this open-heart surgery on Friday. Lord, would everything go well for him in all that's going on? And Father, we are so concerned, as we've heard about Audrey's cousin, John, and the passing of his wife because of this car accident in Chicago. Lord, life is so short sometimes. We rejoice that she's in heaven with you, but we pray that you would really surround her husband with your love and presence. We also pray for Audrey's friend Hazel and all that they're trying to deal with the death of a husband, and Lynn with the throat cancer. Father, some families are going through horrific times, And Lord, if they didn't have you, what would they have? And so we appeal to you to touch these people in a special way. And so, Father, we pray for even practical issues. We have work being done on the church. The Aberdeens told me that their shower is leaking and down through the main floor into the main floor. Lord, would you please provide a plumber for them and answers to help them in their issues. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you. We pray for our church board this day as they meet later and for all the decisions that will be made in so many ways for the betterment of all of us as your children in this family. And Lord, for all of watching by YouTube, that you would bless them this day. May they sense your presence and know that you are with them as well. We are not alone because you live in us. You walk beside us. You're our rear guard. You go before us. And in all of it, you're our shield and you're our protector. And so as Kathy says, sometimes, Lord, we just need help with impatience. And so whatever you need to do in our lives to help us to be stronger and more committed to following you and obedient to you this week, would you do whatever is necessary so that we can be all that you want us to be as soldiers of the Most High God. And we thank you now in your powerful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to remind you today, starting with Moses, a little reminder of his life. And I've titled this sermon, Believe. Just believe. Moses, as you remember, after he killed the Egyptian at the age of 40, he fled into the desert, and he ended up marrying a woman, the daughter of one of the high officials in Midian, one of the high priests. And so he, for the next 40 years, was out doing what? Looking after sheep. Now, that's my idea of fun. But the interesting thing is, in anything we're doing, is God not in charge? Is anything fluke or a mistake? Well, sometimes I think we wonder if it isn't, because while we're going through something, we go, what is the purpose of this? And I think in Moses' case, I'm sure there were many days as he was walking around through all that region, he had no idea that in time there was going to be a bush on fire, and he was going to go over and see the bush wasn't burning, and God began to speak to him out of the bush and said, I'm going to call you back to Egypt to lead my people out of Egypt back so they can worship on this mountain where you are at right now. And if you remember Moses' response, he leaped up and down. He was so excited. He said, thank you. Pick me. When do we start? Actually, he said, no, remember, who's he talking to? It's amazing when we have fear that we even talk contrary to God. And he did. He said, God, I'm slow of speech. I mean, I can't speak. Don't ask me. And God says, wait a minute. I am asking you to go because I have heard of the needs of the people, and I want you to lead them out. And why? Because you're the man. I've trained you. I brought you to this moment. I want you to lead them out. And again, Moses thought about it. He said, no. So then God said, well, I'm going to be with you. Look. Put that staff down on the ground. It becomes a serpent. And remember, the serpent was considered the highest deity in Egyptian religion, because the pharaohs had a serpent even in their own crowns. And God's going, you think that's anything? Now pick it up. It's a staff. And now when you want to go forward and you want to do things, what's the next thing? And so he went through three different scenarios. You know, take the Nile River and water of the Nile and pour it on the ground. It would turn to blood. And he's going, oh, yeah, oh, that's fantastic. But I don't want to go. I don't want to do it. Now, did he have a problem believing in God? No, he knew who he was talking to. There was no, Lord, who are you? Not like Paul. He knew who he was talking to. And finally, the Bible says, and I've left it, and you'll note the scriptures, if fellas, just put it up. I want you to read these for homework if you want to write them down. They're in these two chapters that I'm talking to you about. And so then he says, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to get your brother Aaron. And Aaron's going to come, and he'll be your mouthpiece, and I will tell you what to do. Because at the end of all that discussion, if you look at verse 10, I think we have it here in verse 4, chapter 4, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." In other words, what happened was his own disbelief in himself meant he couldn't believe in God. And how often do we put ourselves down so much that God almost has to arm wrestle us to work with him? You ever been like that? Has God asked you to do some things or talk to some people or go someplace? You go, "Oh, no, no, I can't. No, it's, no. God, I know you made me, but you really don't understand me." Isn't that what we're saying? And isn't that what Moses said? "God, you're doing, going to do all these things, and yet, so guess what happened?" Moses finally agreed because he actually believed that the Lord would lead him, and he was willing to let his own fears be pushed aside. And I would say, if you read Scripture, one of the most powerful God-following men you can read in the Bible is Moses. After all of that, I think he realized his belief was bigger than his fears. So I want to take you on to personalize it in another way, because I think a lot of times you and I, we go, "Well, it's not that I don't believe the Lord's working and using me. I just don't believe I'm good enough." So when did we ever become good enough? The question is, are we available? The question is not our competency level. It has to do with obedience. So what is the Lord asking you and I to do this week? What did he ask you and I to do last week? And do we trust him for how he wants to lead us into the future? That's the question. It's interesting that in Exodus 3 and 4, one of the other things that Moses argued with God about was, God said, "Go and tell the elders that I've called you to come and lead the people out." What did he say? "The elders won't believe me." Because what? In his mind, even though it had been 40 years since he'd been in Egypt, "Oh yeah, this is the guy that killed the Egyptian. Oh, you remember 40 years ago? He was the guy. Oh, this is the guy." Isn't it interesting how many times we let memories from our past stop us from moving forward in the future? "Oh, I did. I was such a twit back then. Oh," and people remember, if I show them now I'm a Christian and I start to lead, they're going to, "Oh, who knows what they're going to say." Isn't it interesting how past memories become the way we think? And so Moses went, bam, 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 bam. And God went, bam, 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 bam. And it's one of the few times you can see God's getting cross. And rightly so. Because God saw bigger than what? His fears. And the very God of the universe was going to help him. Question is, are we going to let the very God of the universe help us? So I want to read you a story. This came across my desk this week, and I profoundly, profoundly cheered me. This is the story of Charlotte Elliott. Now, the name might not mean anything to you. She was born in 1789 in England. So, as I said, this person may not be on your radar anyway, but I want to read your story. Her father was a very, very strong Christian. She grew up in a very Christian, Christ-centered home. And her father and mother would often entertain Christian evangelists, itinerant preachers. Of course, in those days, many preachers went around how? On horseback. They were considered circuit riders. And so different fellows and gals would be in their house. And on one of the visits, a Dr. Cesar Millan came and was sitting around the supper table. And it was an evening conversion. They were conversing. And he asked Charlotte about her personal relationship with God. Now, you and I would say an innocent enough question, but here's the reality. When he asked her if she really was a Christian, she got very angry with him. Here's why. She was in poor health. For most of her life, she had suffered severe pain, and she was irritable. Now, I'm sure that is a a generic word. I'm sure it was more than irritable. I'm sure she was a pain in the neck, and she would probably admit it if she was here talking to us. And she was so upset. She didn't like life. She was a permanent invalid. She was so irritated by the question that she immediately responded to him that she did not wish to discuss the subject at all. Now remember, this is at the turn of the 1800s, and for a woman to tell a man off like that, let alone talk about the topic we weren't going to talk about, it must have just put the room into silence. But what's interesting is Dr. Milan replied in a very kind manner that he did not want to pursue a subject that would displease her, but he would pray that she might give her heart to Christ, be employed then in his servants, and use the talents which God had gifted her. Now, what did I just tell you she was? Constant pain, a permanent invalid, and he was praying that God would have her use her gifts that she was gifted with. Well, it seemed that the Holy Spirit used her abrupt conduct to begin to convict her, because she began to think about how she had depths of pride and alienation from God. And so after several days, she went into really, she got almost like a spiritual headache and realized she needed to go and apologize to Dr. Milan. And so she said, "I am sorry." She said, "I am just so miserable. I want to be saved. I want to come to Jesus. I just don't know how to." And Dr. Milan very graciously said, "Well, why don't you come just as you are? You have only to come to him just as you are." Little did he think, did he realize that his simple reply would be repeated in a song by the whole Christian world. And so what happened is the two of them began to talk that evening, a number of months later, of course, from the initial conversation, and he made it perfectly clear to her that God's simple way was to just ask Jesus to come in and take her sins away, that he'd shed his blood for her and accept him and come to Christ and be saved. She did. She became a Christian. And you know what happened? Nothing physically. She still had the same pain. She was still a permanent invalid. And so what happened, as her ill health continued to beset her, she began to have a mental thought, "I am totally useless. I can do nothing for God's kingdom. I have no gifts. I have no talents. I can't do anything." Well, a couple of years later, in 1834, she was now 45 years of age, and her brother, who was a pastor, Reverend H.V. Eliot, had founded a school for children of pastors in Brighton, where they could all be educated at a very reasonable rate. And so this school had opened, and there was great excitement, and they decided, in aid of this St. Mary's, that they would hold a big bazaar, and they were building this hall, and so everybody was working, what, to get this hall ready, and they decorated, and they, you know, people were making cookies, and there was all kinds of things. The reality was is that as the day grew closer, Charlotte, while she had eager interest to be involved, felt she could do absolutely nothing. What do you think happened to her? You're right. She fell into deeper depression over the fact that she couldn't do anything. The night before the bazaar, she was awake all night with distressing thoughts about how useless she was. She didn't even know now whether she believed in Jesus and Jesus still loved her. Again, her thought process took her, what, a pendulum swing to the far extreme. The next day was a busy day for the bazaar, and the troubles of the night came back to her with such force that she didn't know what to do. So she sat down, and she decided, despite how she was feeling, again, what's bigger than emotion? Facts and faith. What she decided to do was to write a little poem that she could read as part of the bazaar. And she would present the poem, and people could read it and enjoy it. And here's what she wrote, and I believe we have all the words on the screen. "Just as I am, without one plea, But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. Can you relate to what she's saying? O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Charlotte, as you can see in those words, possessed a rare ability to write poetry. And in this case, 12 years later, William Bradbury put music, and this became a song. Now, what's interesting is that as of that day when she wrote Just As I Am, she decided that she wanted to do more, and she knew she could at least write poetry. And so 2 years later, she became the author of an editorship called Yearly Remembrance, and the very first poem she put in that book was Just As I Am. She put it in anonymously. And here's the rest of the story. What happened was that this poem had gave such sweet counsel to troubled minds that it soon found itself in magazines and publications. In fact, after one publication, a lady was so struck by the beauty of it that she actually had it printed in leaflet form to circulate in cities and towns all over England. Now remember, what was Charlotte's physical condition? Constant pain, permanent invalid. One day, the doctor who was treating her in Devonshire, a very strong Christian man, was so concerned about Charlotte that he took this pamphlet that he'd received from this other lady and he said, "I think this would give you great hope." And when she saw it, she told him she was the author of it. And there was great rejoicing, apparently. And by the time of her death in 1871, at the age of 82, she'd written over 150 hymns, not to mention many, many stanzas of poetry. What you might find interesting, I did a little research and found that starting in October of 1947 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the evangelist Billy Graham used her hymn as the invitation moment to come forward in his rallies to accept Jesus Christ, and he used it for his entire series of rallies except one time, and then people were so upset he didn't use it, he had to put it back in. But for his entire career as an evangelist, that was the song he used for the invitation. And what's interesting is part of the reason why he used it as an invitation is because in 1934, down in Charlotte, North Carolina, he was at an evangelist meeting in which that song was sung, and then another song was sung, and he went forward to accept the Lord. And here was a woman who said, "I have nothing to give God. I'm nothing. I'm useless." And what conquered it for her on that day of the bazaar was the fact that she then believed, "I know who I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." You know what's fascinating, family? Is Jesus calls us into his presence, not because of what we can bring, but what? Because of what we can't bring. When you think about it, we really don't have anything. And yet, what we have is Charlotte realized that, and she brought herself. You realized you had nothing, but you brought yourself. I realized that, brought myself. And look at what Jesus is doing with us all. Look at the ways he's working. Now, you can still say, yes, but I'm in pain, and I'm not doing it, and I don't really have anybody to talk to, and I really... Well, I remember a lady in a church, and a visitor came to her church, and she was at the door, and she smiled at him, and he came in. And at the end of the service, as he went to leave, she was at the door, and she smiled to him again. And he said, "Madam," he says, "what do you do for the kingdom of God in this church?" She says, "Well, sir, I smile them in, and I smile them out." We've all got at least a smile, although I'm not sure, because most of you have really masked it. Here's the question then. In light of what I've said, and in light of what we said about Moses, in light of what I've said about Charlotte, look at what we have in John 6 and verse 29. Look at this verse. Jesus said to them, what? "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And it goes on to say the following. "I want you to believe that I am what I am. If he's the bread of life, will he not feed us? If we're not thirsty, will he not fill us so that we can be available to do whatever? Even rake leaves, smile somebody in, smile somebody out." Many of you remember a lady in our church by the name of Jean Acree. Jean's one of those women that was an absolute love. She came to Christ about the age of 83. And I remember one day she said to me, I went over to visit in her house, and she said to me, "Pastor," she said, "I am so shy. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" She says, "Well, lots of ladies in my church are in the church are calling me. I don't even know what to say." I said, "Well, why don't you say two things? When they phone up, the first thing you say is, 'How are you doing?'" "Okay." "And the second question is, you say to them, 'And how are your children?'" "Okay." I went and visited her a week later. She said, "Pastor, I can't even get off the phone." She says, "People are so glad. People are so glad that I'm here and they're talking to me. They thank me for a great conversation. I didn't even say anything. I just asked them two questions." I said, "Keep it up. You're doing a marvelous job." That was her gift. That was her talent. And so I think we need to know that if we simply believe that Jesus is working and going to use us, then the reality is what? We become what the Bible calls salt and light. And we have that in the scripture. So let's take a look at this in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, do we have chapter 5 there, fellas? Can we have the next scripture? "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." And then the next verse simply says, it's okay, take your time. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know, before we can even do anything, we have to believe and know what we believe. The Lord will take care of everything else. Our question is, are we willing to believe who he is and what he is and trust him to lead us in every aspect of our life? And then as Thomas said after he poo-pooed the fact that Jesus had resurrected from the dead, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," when he did see the nail prints and put his hand in the side. And so as we see in I just want to end with this, is that in Matthew 5, "You are the salt of the earth. And if salt has lost its taste, how has its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are a light to the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house." And so here's the key. In the same way, what? In the same way, what? What does it say? Okay, let's just unpack this for just a second. "Let your light so shine before others." What does that mean? I don't know. And maybe right now you don't know what's going to happen this week. But the Lord is going to shine through you as you let your light shine. You know, before we go out the door, we've got to have a certain attitude. What's the attitude? Oh, good Lord, it's morning. Or good morning, Lord. Right? It's all how you flip the words. And then as we head into the day, what's going to happen? You're going to find yourself doing good works, and the people will glorify God. Because what? You're just trying to be a bright light. And it isn't about me instructing you today. Now, I want you to do this, 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 and this. And God's not got a five, six-point hit parade. He's just saying, go out and believe in me, and I will direct you to whatever, to do whatever. Oh, yeah, but Lord, I'm slow of speech. Oh, Lord, is the Lord not capable of bringing an Aaron alongside you? Sure. Is the Lord not capable of doing a miracle, and you'll pick up that snake, and it's done? God will work in whatever way he wants. You just need to believe. I just need to believe. And so here's the question I want to end with this morning. Where do you want your belief in this great God and King to take you this week? I don't know about you, but being a Christian should mean every week should be a week of anticipation. Because we don't know what God's doing. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of whatever God's doing. Whatever gifts or talents I have, whatever gifts or talents you have, there's no competition, by the way. We're each called to minister in different ways and be in different places. You're going to be in places I'm not going to be this week, and vice versa. And so I want to propose to you and I, let's dream big. This is not about making a name for ourselves. This is about letting God be glorified and our light shining. So what? So people will in turn glorify God. And if you and I get to heaven and we say, Lord, I did my level best and I smiled them in and I smiled them out, what do you think the Lord's going to say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your rest and keep on smiling. Oh, that's the New English Version. Family, this time we're going through is stifling. It's smothering. It's bringing out every emotion I can think of for myself, I'm sure for you too. But the reality is, since greater is he that's in me, I'm going to believe that he's going to be working here where we live and going to use us in powerful ways this week. So dream big and see what the Lord's going to do through you. Can we try it? Father, I want to thank you for this family. And Lord, for those watching on YouTube as well, may we realize that the core of who we are is our belief in you. And in that belief, you are going to work miracles and direction and timing and issues we're going to be resolved. And yes, Lord, there may be some real hardships, but even in that, you've got plans and purposes. We may, some of us here, feel we're 40 years in the wilderness. Even in that, Lord, you're preparing us for something to come. And so help us to dream big, because better things are still ahead of us. You always move us on to bigger and better things, because in all of our desire, we want to see you glorified. And so, Lord, thank you again for what you're doing, and we praise you in advance for how you're going to lead us this week. In your powerful name we pray, amen and amen. Let's conclude with a song that you all know, My Life Is In You, Lord. If the team will come up, please. And we're going to sing this together. Team, come on up. And we're going to sing, My Life Is In You, Lord. My Strength Is In You, Lord. My Hope Is In You, Lord. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life, with all of my strength, all of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength
is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life, with all of my strength. All of my hope is in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. It's in you.
So, Father, here we go. We're going out in the mission field, and we know you're going before us. Thank you for our time together. May everyone sense your presence as we leave this place and into the week that you've given us. And we thank you in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Bless the Lord.